How is the temperature on everybody? Is anybody in here cool? Anybody in here too hot? I hope nobody says yes. Because I'm standing up here by myself and I'm about to freeze. Anybody got long johns I could borrow? Thermos, coveralls. Well, I'm going to be preaching tonight along the same theme I've been preaching for the last several days now, several times I've preached. And I feel like that's what the Lord wants for right now. And I can't get beyond that. And so, along the same lines, I said, not exactly the same thought entirely, but along the same lines. And I want to continue with it again tonight. Psalm 66 in the Word of God, please. Psalms and verse 66. I want these two preachers in here to be ready. I may have to tag team one of them. I'm going to leave my notes. If I do, I'm going to leave my notes and my Bible. And they're going to pick up right where I left off. And finish the message. I'm going to try. See what the Lord will do for me. Amen. Psalm 66. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Amen. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Amen.
Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Notice that word, we. I've got that highlighted. David wrote this song. And yet he uses that pronoun we. We went through the flood.
Amen.
And I've never been able to quite figure that out. If I ever do, I'll preach it one of these days.
Amen.
Verse 7, he said, he ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations.
Amen.
Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried, thou broughtest us unto the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. And you pray for me as I try to preach out of these verses to us tonight. I believe it's exactly what God wants for us tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege it's ours to assemble. Thank God that we can be in the house of God on this Wednesday night. That you've given us a desire, given us health and the ability to be here. And I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would breathe upon us tonight in an unusual way, enlightening our hearts and minds and giving us understanding of the Word of God. And Lord, an understanding of what you're doing in our life and in our church, in our families. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll save sinners. What good news it is to hear this young man calling upon the name of the Lord. I praise you and thank you for that. I pray now, Lord, that you'd anoint me with power. You'd grant liberty. I pray you'd subdue every heart and help each and every individual, including myself, to be surrendered to the will of God. I pray you'd give me the energy, the strength, the power, the might from God that I need to deliver this message tonight and wisdom likewise. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I suppose verse 12 really is where I want to be taking my thought from tonight. It's where the psalmist said there, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
Amen.
I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought, a trail of tears.
Amen.
A trail of tears. I'm satisfied that all of us here are acquainted in one way or another with tears. Many of us here may have watered our pillow at night with a broken heart. Watered that pillow with our tears over sorrow and grief. Others may experience tears of great joy. But we all know what it is. We all know what tears are. The majority of the time, they will come from a broken heart. They'll come from some distressful time in our life that has broken us and grieved us and caused us to have great sorrow.
Amen.
But I want you to take cheer because of the child of God. It's all in the plan, the mind, and the economy and the work of God in your life. God is doing to you and I what is best for our good and for the glory of God. And so I want to preach on that thought tonight, the trail of tears. If you notice the title of the psalm, it says that the psalm is said to be a song or a psalm. That is, that it might be said or it might be sung. It is a marvelous little psalm or a poem that we might want to sit down and read, but it can be set to suitable music also. They use this psalm in their worship services in Israel. And I'll get to what it characterizes in just a minute. It doesn't mention the author's name, but it bears all the characteristics of David's writings. Notice the topic of the psalm is praise. He said in verse number 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious." It says in verse 4, "All the earth shall worship Thee, and shall sing unto Thee, and shall sing to Thy name." And so it is a psalm of praise. And the subject of the song that David is writing about is the Lord's great works. May I say the Lord has done some great works. I marvel at creation. I really do. I look at the works of creation, and I don't see how anyone could ever believe in evolution. That what is here just happened to be here by chance. It had to be the handiwork of God. In fact, the Bible declares that the heavens will declare the handiwork of Almighty God. I don't know where you've been and what you've seen, but I've seen not only a great deal of America, but I've seen a great deal of the world. I've seen great wonders with my eyes. I've sailed both oceans. I've been on several continents and been in several countries throughout the world. I've seen many spectacular things. And I stand and marvel at them all when I realize that the God of all glory created what all things that are, and by the word of His power, He holds them up. He simply created them, commanded them to stay in their place, and they've stayed there down through the history of time. And so it declares the great works of our Lord. And then His gracious benefits. I think we'd all have to say that God loads us down daily with benefits. God has been better to you and I than what we deserve. And God has given us great benefits. The Bible says that with food and raiment that we ought to be content. But I'd say everyone in here tonight possesses more than just food, and they possess more than just raiment. God has blessed America with untold blessings and benefits. We've got great wealth. God's blessed us with plenty of food to eat. There's nations in the world today that people are there starving to death, and yet we waste more food today than a lot of people have to eat in the run of a day, in the course of a day. God has loaded us down every day with benefits. David is saying here, because the Lord has done great things, And because the Lord is gracious with His benefits, that you and I, as a child of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, ought to be able to sing praises unto our God. We ought to be able to glorify His wonderful name for all the work that He has done toward the children of men. And then it speaks of His faithful deliverances. Now, I'm not going to take time to go over all these. But God has been faithful to deliver us. Everyone in here tonight that's saved by the grace of God has been delivered from the power of sin. You've been saved and delivered from the shackles of sin. You may not realize it at the time, but if you've read your Bible much now, you realize and know that sin had a great hold upon you. And there was no power within yourself to break that hold sin had. But I'm telling you, the marvels of the grace of God. God spoke the word and the fetters fell off. And God declared you to be free from sin in Him. And the Bible said, if the Son shall make you free, then ye are free indeed. Hallelujah. I'm glad that sin doth not have dominion over us. I'm glad that Satan doth not have dominion over us. I'm glad the world does not have dominion over us. But I graciously and humbly tonight bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and take His yoke upon myself, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And not only has He saved me from sin, praise God, He has delivered us from the lowest depths of hell. Boy, if you could ever get a hold of that, that you were headed for a Christless eternity in a lake of fire forever and ever, and God, by His marvelous grace, turned you around, birthed you into the family of God, and set a hope of glory down in your soul where you can hope in the eternal blessings and bliss and benefits of Almighty God forever and ever, ladies and gentlemen. There will be no end. Thank God for His deliverances. And Paul said, He delivered me out of all my troubles. Amen. Boy, we think we have a lot of troubles. Now, you ought to go back and look at Paul's troubles. Right. Go back and look at Jeremiah's troubles. Amen. We don't know what troubles are. Amen. Look at Job's troubles. Look at David's troubles. We don't know what troubles are. We really don't. We've had it good in our generation. Amen. Some of the old-timers that's older than I am grew up in the Depression years. Now, they can tell you a little bit about hard times. We know nothing about hard times. And we're still griping and murmuring and complaining about what we have. I'll tell you one of the problems, come on now, one of the problems in our churches today is that we're not thankful for what God has done for us. He has bountifully blessed us with blessings from above. And we ought to be able to praise Him and thank Him for the deliverances that God has given to you and I. But He's been good to this old boy. I was raised in a house with worn out linoleums on the floor. I never said a word the other night, but Brother Bob Gish, somebody talked about gravy and biscuits. He said, yeah. I said, I see you eat some paste. They looked at him like he was stupid. What do you mean I eat gravy? He said, do you realize if you put water and flour together, the old timers used that for paste? Amen. And they did. Yes, I've seen my mama more than once take water and flour and make paste. And we couldn't even afford wallpaper. We had the Courier Journal and the Louisville Times on our walls in the house for wallpaper. But that's right. And worn out linoleums on the floor. Three of us big boys in one bed, two in another bed. And I'm telling you, we didn't gripe and complain about that. We were thankful to get a pound of bologna on Fridays. And now God has blessed us bountifully. That's what David's trying to get us to see, that God has richly blessed us and graciously and bountifully endued us with great blessings. And we ought to rejoice and praise His wonderful name for what He's done. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't we living in the unthankful generation? An unholy, unthankful. Now somebody, see, we like to get on that disobedience of parents and without natural affection, but we don't like to get on that unthankfulness too much. You know why? Because most Baptists never thank God for anything. We say, amen. Brother Stephen's been on me all for 2 days. What you need, 3 days. What you need, preacher, is to suck on some lemons. Get that out of your throat. I said, as sure as I did, I'd come to church, and you'd say, look at the old wrinkled face preacher. By God, he looks like he's been sucking on lemons. And I guess I would have. But I don't want to come to the house of God like that. I'm telling, hey, when we think about those things in Timothy chapter 3, and one of them says a generation that will be unthankful.
Amen.
In the last days when perilous times come. Have we not got there?
Amen.
Brother, I'll tell you. I'll guarantee you Brother Robert never had it easy when he was a boy growing up.
Yeah,
I'll guarantee you every child in his family. I can say this, and I believe I'm right. Every child in his family has got much more than he had when he was growing up. Right or wrong, Brother Robert? How thankful are you, youngins?
Yeah.
Some of you have seen the little house I was raised in.
Yeah.
Praise God, I'm thankful tonight for what God's done to me. In everything, yeah, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's delivered us. And then it talks about His dealings with His people. How God deals with His people. I'm going to have to hurry. One of God's dealings with His people is found in verse number 10. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. And Thou hast tried us. As silver is tried. He proves us and He tries us. May I say that all the saints of God must go through His proving house.
Amen.
There's not one exempt. I want you to hear what I'm saying. There is not one of us in here tonight that is going to be exempt from being proved.
Amen.
From being tested. From being tried.
Amen.
Every child of God will face that test. Every child of God will be proved of his faith, his sincerity, and his love for Christ, and he will prove that in you. There's not one exemption. Not one exemption. Amen. God had one son without sin, but he never had a son without a trial. Even through his sufferings, our Lord learned obedience. That's right. And we complain about it today. If we got to suffer a little bit, we complain about it today. I'm going to tell you, it's through those times that you'll learn from the Lord. That is, if you'll snuggle up real close to His heart and listen to what God's trying to tell you. Everything that happens in your life. I've got this cough and this hack and this sore throat for a purpose. Somebody said, oh, it's just a cold that's going around. Well, it may be a cold that's going around, but I'm God's child, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And everything in my life is there by sovereign design, is there for a purpose. God is working out His plan and His purpose in my life in doing that. And God will do that in your life as well. Amen. Anybody listening? That's right. We ought not to complain.
Amen.
If we're subject to the rule which is common to all the family.
Right.
I want to ask you something. What if you had 5 children? You told them the rule was that when they come out of the bathroom, they either left the door open or shut the door, whichever way you want to use it. And one of them didn't want to do that. And every time they didn't do that, you skimped their hide a little bit for it. And they complain because you whip me all the time. It's because you're not playing the house rules.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, we ought to never complain when God puts His hand on us.
Amen.
If we're not playing the family rules.
Amen.
We are in the family of God. He is no respecter of persons. He will not treat one any differently than He will treat the other. I'll guarantee you, if He proves one, He'll test the other one just the same. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen to God is right.
Amen.
Now, great benefits flow from the trial of our faith. I'll mention them in a little while. The Lord Himself proves us. Therefore, there should never be a question as to the wisdom and the love displayed therein. God proves us, and God tries us through His wonderful wisdom. And He does it because of His love. God knows what it takes to make us like Him. God knows what it takes to conform us to the image of His Son. Now I'm going to tell you the best, I learned a long time ago, the best way to get along in Truman Hall's family was to submit to Truman Hall's rules. To obey what the Papa had to say. And I'm telling you, I learned a long time ago the best way to get along with God is to play to His rule and obey what God has to say. But there's so many people that want to have it their way. I want to do it my way. And I'm telling you, we're missing some of the richest blessings of God in our life because we're trying to play by our rule book that man has written rather than God's rule book that God has written. Amen. God may make us sick and God may afflict us and God may take away some of our money and God may take us through hard times. But I'm going to tell you, every time He does, and it breaks our heart and we leave a trail of tears behind, it's just a big A-plus in our column. For a broken heart and a contrite spirit, God will not refuse. Oh, yes. Hallelujah to God. Damn, I think, and I mentioned some of them here in a minute, a couple at least. And I think back of some of the old-timers. And the trail of tears that they left along the way. And I found that some of those that leave the trail of tears have been the best Christians that God has. Are those that have lived a life with a broken heart and a contrite spirit make the best of God's children every time. I'll just use me for an instance. Miss Hall and I are trying to figure out what in the world is going on in our life. We really are. We thought we had everything going our way. Our family was here with us. Our family was within just a few miles, the whole family. Now I got a son, a daughter, daughter-in-law, and three wonderful grandchildren living in Springfield, Missouri. Doug and his family's getting ready to go to Scotland. And we're wondering what went wrong. What's God doing? Why is God doing this? Do you think that it's not been easy? Do you think it's been easy on us? There's been nights that we've watered our pillow with the tears of our eyes, wondering what God's doing. But I have been serving God long enough, I've got enough sense to know that whatever God's doing, God's doing it for our benefit. I don't understand it all, but I don't have to understand it all. He never said you have to understand it all. All He said was you have got to submit to the will of God, whatever it might be for your life. Amen. Now, there may come a day when you and I will be able to make hymns out of our griefs. That's what David done here. David's heart was broken for some reason, grieved and broken and saddened and sorrowful. But he made a song out of it. I've seen that over and over again through the Psalms, and you've heard me preach. I don't have to tell you, I've preached on it so much. But I think it's because I don't believe you've ever really gotten a hold of it. That God, God took David's griefs and turned them into a song.
Amen.
Job probably walked through the fires more than any other man in the Bible. But he learned in the end that our God is a pitiful God and a gracious God and a loving God. Job that thought God had surely done him wrong. Job's thinking all this time, what have I done to deserve all this? But Job couldn't see down the road a few years when God would double bless him with everything that he had before. And God will never take something away from you that He will not replace it with something better, ladies and gentlemen. Not ever, hallelujah to God. Nothing.
Amen.
That's right. Now, He'll make it. He'll make our hymns turn into griefs and sing them more sweetly.
Amen.
Because our mouths have been purified by the bitter things of life.
Right.
And it is a purifying agent, take my word for it. Amen. Now, what I'll mention three or four things it tries. You notice he says in verse 10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Notice that. Tried us as silver is tried. Notice verse 12. "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads."
Amen.
We went through fire and through water. Went through what? We went through fire. And we went through water. And he said up here, "For God has proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Anybody like to guess how silver is tried? It's tried in the fire, ladies and gentlemen. He said in Psalm 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times." He said, God's word is tried in a furnace. I'm talking about in the fire. Amen. And so God uses the fires to prove us and to try us. Oh, now I'm telling you, sometimes the fire can get hot. And the hotter the fire, the purer you're going to be. And the longer you stay in the fire, the purer you're going to be. The problem with most, we don't want to stay in the fire until the fire has done its work and purified us like it has the Word of God. Hallelujah to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Peter said, 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice."
Amen.
How can I rejoice when the fires are burning around me, Brother Hall?
Amen.
How can I rejoice when I'm being tried? When nothing's going right and everything's going wrong? When God has seemingly burnt me down to the stump. You know, when I first come to Kentucky, I thought Kentuckians were stupid. Now, don't throw stones at me. I was pastoring at Rumsey. Sister Hall and I come back through one of these back roads over to Madisonville, and them big bottoms, they had harvested their crop and had those fields on fire. And I said, "What on earth?" I said to myself, "What did they set that stubble on fire for? What good's that going to do?" So I asked a farmer one day, "Why do you set that field on fire after you harvest the crop?" He said, "It purifies the earth. It burns out the germs that will hurt the next crop that we plant." And he said, "We burn her off to burn the germs out of it. So our next crop will be a good crop and a pure crop." And I'm telling you, God will set you on fire, ladies and gentlemen, to purify you so your next crop will be a better crop than what your first crop was. Amen. That's right. And so it's a purifying process.
Amen.
That fire is. A purifying process. God's purifying you.
That's right.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Don't you want to be holy?
Amen.
I saw Brother Williamson's prayer letter. And he put on there, "Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord."
Amen.
Somebody said, "I don't believe Brother Herbert knows what his church is called. He's got on his sign, Anabaptist Church. And he's got on his prayer letter in there, Faith, Bible, Missionary, Authentic Baptist Church." That's a new one. I never in my life heard of an authentic Baptist church. But it sounded like a real deal to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he put on there perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And what God's doing when He set your field on fire, He is perfecting holiness in you. Somebody said, oh, I don't like that. You better, for without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Be you holy, for I am holy. Thank God, I'm telling you, God wants to burn the dross out of us. And He proves us and tries us. And He proves us by fire, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. Now, I want to say it's not only a purifying process, it's a particular process.
Amen.
God does not, He treats everybody alike, but He doesn't use the same methods on everybody. God knows what it takes to purify me. He knows how hot to turn up the furnace.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, may have turned up a little hotter on some folks. And you know that what I read Sunday when I said, they that have been forgiven of much will love more.
Amen.
And they that have been forgiven little, I've got news for you. Those that have been in deep sin got a whole lot more burning to go through.
Amen. That's right.
I've had some of you to testify. I've heard your testimony.
Amen.
That you were wicked sinners before Amen. God saved you. Then don't bellyache and don't fret when God sets the fires under your soul. God is burning out that sinfulness, that wickedness, that ungodliness that you had in you. Now I'm going to tell you, the fires will be a whole lot hotter on guys like me than it will be on folks that have lived decent moral lives. You can just put that down in your little black book. Why do you think, you know a man in the New Testament that went through any more than Paul did? But brother, you read the list of testings and trials that Paul encountered in his life. They were many. And it wasn't surface testing. It went all the way to the soul. Woo! But I learned with the testings. There comes exaltation. Right? God will test us and purify us. And when the job is done, like Paul, He might elevate us. He won't do this, but He brought Paul to the third heaven. Hallelujah to God. Let Him see things that are not even lawful to be uttered. What I'm saying is, it's a particular process. God didn't treat David like He treated Job. God didn't treat Job like He treated Jeremiah.
Amen.
And God didn't treat Jeremiah like He did Daniel. And God didn't treat Daniel like He does you and I.
Amen.
It's a particular process. We are personal to God, and we're particular to God.
Amen.
Every one of us in here that are saved.
Amen.
Is anybody listening?
Yes, sir, preacher.
Then I want to say it's a patient process.
Amen.
You hear what I'm getting ready to say? The Lord never needs to hurry His work.
Amen.
Never. Brother Steve stuck his head in that window the other day and we was talking. I was sitting there in the other room and he said, "Preacher, you know, when you stop and think about the fact that God knows doesn't know time as we know it. Time can't affect Him in no way. And you and I, we run out of time during the day. But God doesn't operate on time." And I'm going to tell you the way God looks at you and I, He's got all eternity to do whatever He wants to with us.
Amen.
So He's patient.
Right.
When you fail, do you think God gets mad? Nope.
Go ahead.
He just picks up the pieces and starts over again.
Amen.
Aren't you glad He didn't throw the clay away?
Amen.
Thank God He didn't throw the clay away.
Amen.
When the clay was marred in the hands of the potter, He didn't throw the clay away. Praise God, He made a new vessel out of that clay that was pleasing to Him. Hallelujah. And God is making vessels out of you and I that are pleasing in the eyes of God. And I said, I don't like what He's doing with me. You better learn to like it, Buckwheat. Because you ain't going to change God's plans.
Amen.
Now, you know a couple of people I thought about that were tried in the fire? Some of you may disagree with me on this one, but I think about Naomi. That left Bethlehem, Judea. And went down into Moab. You talking about getting your, setting your fields on fire. Lost her husband. Lost two boys. She went home bitter.
Right.
He said, call me Myra. Call me Myra, because I'm coming back home bitter. I'm going to tell you what, she learned a lesson the hard way, folks.
Yeah.
Amen to God.
Amen.
I think about Joseph. You know, we talk so much about Job, but so many, we forget about Joseph. Somebody said, was he tested in the fire? I guess he was. He had a gang of brothers that hated his guts. Now that's testing, folks, when you're living in a family that they're all that family except your daddy despises the ground you walk on.
Right. Amen.
Now that's testing. Can you stay sweet to that family like Joseph did?
That's right. Great.
Joseph never did get ill with them brothers of his.
Never did.
They cast him in a pit. And one of his brothers, when he realized what happened, rent his clothes.
Right.
Went home and lied to their daddy. Hey, it didn't stop there. He was sold to Potiphar's house and wound up in Potiphar's house doing good. But the next thing you know, you found him in the prison house.
Yes.
For doing nothing but right.
Amen.
Come on in the house now.
Amen.
He went to prison for right.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to go to jail for what you done wrong. But friend, it's another thing. It's one thing to be tested and proven to be purified for what's wrong.
Amen.
But it's another thing to go through the fire when you're right.
Amen.
I learned a long time ago, if you go through the fire when you're right, it'll keep you right.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Amen.
Then a butler lied about him. A butler told him, said, I'm gonna tell Pharaoh about you, Joseph. 2 years later, he hadn't thought a thing about it. When he got out and become governor of the land, he didn't say, I want somebody to find me that butler. I'm going to get, just like the baker lost his head, I'm going to get that egg sucker's head, buddy. In other words, through the testings and the trials and the fires that Joseph went through, he learned that vengeance is the Lord. Buddy, I'm telling you, so often we won't take. I looked on the page, internet page in there today, and it said, man in Alabama throws four of his children off a bridge. From 3 months old, I think, to 3 or 4 years old, throwed every one of them off the bridge. 800 feet down, he threw them off. And you know what his name was? Lam Lung. He come here from Vietnam in 1984. When I read that, my blood went. I told Steve, I said, I like to throw that egg sucker off that bridge myself. And I sat there a minute, and the Lord said, you know what Jerome would say about that. That got my gizzard, boy. You don't think the Lord won't let things like that come across your path to try you? God knows I've got a hard time with Orientals. Don't make no bones and no apologies about it. And He brought one right in front of me that had done something against someone that He knows my heart goes out to, little children.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost said, what are you going to do about him, big boy? Could you still witness to him? If he bowed his knee and truly got born again, could you put your arm around his neck and love him? You've got that time of grace. Oh, somebody said, oh, God will never tempt you or try you that way. I'm telling you, they crucified our Lord. That crowd despised him and hated him. And yet he cried out to God the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We've got a long way to go, friend. We got a lot of dross left in us. When we can look at a picture and want to trigger, I won't hurt your whiskers. I'll get under them. I said, I won't hurt you. I am. I'm just going to mention these. It's time to go home. The instruments God uses. There cannot be a fire without fuel.
Amen. That's right.
It's an impossibility. Got to be something to fire the fuel.
Amen.
Look what he says in verse 11. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon us. Afflictions.
Amen.
I wonder how much affliction we can really take.
That's right. Amen.
I've griped and complained for a week about having a common cold. And yet I know people that's lost limbs.
Amen.
Got one in here tonight. I know people that have been diseased early in their life and fought disease all their life long.
Amen.
I saw Mrs. Welch and her daughter down here. I saw her daughter lay there and twist and turn in bed with her pain in her legs and beg a nurse to massage and rub her legs and
Amen.
Get up the pain. But I never one time heard her complain.
Amen.
I wonder if we can really take affliction.
Yeah.
Here's what Isaiah said. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction.
Amen.
Amen. Could preach on that. Preach on to be a hot time in the old town tonight.
Amen.
So he uses afflictions.
Right.
He uses the absence of Christ in her life, as he did the Song of Solomon. It's when she said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when I spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave no answer.
Amen.
When the Lord was standing there knocking, he didn't get impatient. He didn't become angry. And he did not doubt that she was inside. And he left before she answered the door. He knew if he stayed there long enough, she'd answer the door.
Yep.
But God departed from her
yep.
for a season
yep.
that he might prove her
yep.
and test her and try her
yep.
in her faith and her sincerity and in her love. She went out looking for him. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. If he's absent in your life, you better find him.
Amen.
For he is of great value.
Amen.
His value, the Bible says, is far above rubies.
Amen.
Yea, even gold.
Amen.
Much fine gold.
Right.
People labor harder today to be rich than they labor to have Christ
Amen.
In their life.
Amen.
God, if there's anything we need, it's him working in our life. Thank God for the fire. Thank God for the testing. Thank God for the trial. Thank God it's an assurance of His presence in our life. It's assurance of salvation, thank God. It's assurance we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. It's assurance that we've got the seal of promise living within us. And God, there ain't no need to be upset about it. Rejoice. Woo!
I'm
about to get happy. Woo! That's one of the real assurances that you hear because he scourges every son who be receiveth. Thank God, that's one of the greatest assurances in all the Bible that you're a child of God. If God's put his hand on you and proved you and tried you in the fires of affliction.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
Now, if he ain't never tried you, you ain't one of his.
Amen.
And if you bowed your neck at it, you're in trouble with him.
Yes, man. Amen.
Now, he used afflictions and absences. He uses abjects.
Amen.
Somebody said, you've done flipped your lid, preacher. What's an abject? I'm fixing to tell you. Said in Psalm 35:15, but in mine adversity they rejoiced. and gathered themselves together, yea, the abjects.
Amen.
Gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. You know what it is? People.
Amen.
People.
Right.
God will let people come across your path that make you irksome.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. An abject is a smiter, to smite or lightly or severely. It's a traducer. It's a false accuser. It's one like they accused him falsely when he was hanging on the cross. The abjects walked round about him like darkened dogs.
Amen.
The instruction that God gives us here. He said, before I was a Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, from now on, I'm going to obey God. That's what Psalm said. Now, I'm going to hurry through these. You mark them down in James. I've preached through them, but I'm going to just mention them. The fruit of our trial in James 1. James 1, 2 said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Boy, we sure don't count it joy, do we? We get the pooge mouth and the lower lip dragging out. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's the fruit of your proving and testing. See if there's any joy in you. I want to say this to you tonight, and you hear what I'm saying right here very well. If you can't rejoice in the hard times, your joy in the good times is a fluke. If you can't rejoice when things are bad, your joy in the good times is a phony.
Amen.
The only joy you have is on the mountaintop. You're a phony.
Amen.
Count it all joy.
Amen.
When you fall into diverse temptations. Then another one of those fruits is patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Amen.
You know what Baptists say? You know what they say? Don't somebody tell me. Lord, I want patience, but hurry up and give it to me. It don't come overnight.
Amen.
And most of us are not near as patient as what we think we are.
That's right. Amen.
We get under a load and we immediately start looking for the way out.
Right.
I left here last Saturday night saying in my heart, Lord, what am I going to do? We didn't get them other $1,000 callers, Lord. We're going to lose we're going to lose $10,000. Lord, we prayed, we pleaded, we begged. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord said, you poor, benighted little idiot.
Amen.
I just gave you $10,000 last month, $25,000 in marathon this month. What's wrong with you? And I had to smile. Say, Lord, you know you're right. We went in there then. We got over $4,000 in the checkbook.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And the missions are paying.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen.
Wait on Him.
Right.
Lord said, wait. God's payday may not be last Saturday night.
That's right.
Amen.
Then wisdom and maturity is one. But let patience have her perfect work. That's maturity. That you may be perfect and entire one another. Wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to him in liberty and upbraideth not.
Amen.
Shall be given him. Faith. Let him ask in faith nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And stability. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his
ways.
God rewards you with these things through the fires.
Amen.
Now I've got one final thing, the finality of the trial. I love it.
Amen.
Verse 12 said, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. You haven't ever had anybody drive an automobile over the top of your head, have you? Chariot? Motorcycle? You ever had a man? I have to be honest, I've had a few men to ride on my head. You must like it at the time, but you know, there wasn't much a man could do about it when you're on the bottom of the pile.
Amen.
Now, it's caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest out.
Amen.
In a wealthy place. That's the end of it right there.
Amen.
Lord, you proved us with affliction.
Yes, sir.
You tried us with fire. We walked through the waters and we walked through the fire. Men trampled on our head. But you brought us out of all of it into a wealthy place.
Sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see what I always say? It's always brighter up ahead, church.
Amen.
And it is. The sun's always shining in glory land.
Amen.
And the best days is yet to come.
Amen.
Let's stand together.